I moved from London to Toronto in 78, 79. And the agenda was really clear. Move to Toronto to come out and be an artist. And in the process, at the time I didn't realize I was going to become involved so quickly in activism, but it sort of happened. It was mostly because of people I met, a really formative bunch of people who were very influential, included the Body Politic Collective. Artists and activists in Toronto became very influential, and some are close friends to this day. And some of the issues I started working around, particularly Central American solidarity and the peace movement and gay activism most of all, I guess, were very influential and immediately started becoming a part of the work I was doing. And I became really intrigued by how art can contribute to the activist conversation, how it can contribute to movements and struggles, but also use, not just be supporting or illustrating political issues, but actually critically engaging with them and contributing to debates. So I guess another component which was hugely influential was joining the collective of Fuse magazine and working on staff. Fuse being a magazine that was all about exploring art and activism.
What would you say are the roots of your political consciousness?
Social justice, Catholicism. My parents were good old NDPers and very much Church of the Poor, liberation theology Catholics, that belief that, you know, the Christian way was the way of the poor, etc. And then from there, I think coming out was very radicalizing. And the coming out into gay liberation and the ideas of gay liberation and feminism and extending those quickly to a broader spectrum of an analysis of power and injustice, etc. And these were exciting times. Foucault was visiting Toronto. There was much activism on the streets. There was huge mobilization of both the gay community and the black community against the police and police abuses. So there was a lot of theory and a lot of practice all there happening in the crucible of late 70s, early 80s Toronto.
How did you bring your art to bear on it, like where you started making films?
Well, there was a strong tradition in Toronto of video activism, and so the co-ops I belonged to, I sort of skipped the university college thing and just dived right into joining the co-ops. And so the co-ops included Trinity Square Video and Charles Street, which had both been founded by a combo of artists and street activists. And there was that idea of you get a port-a-pack out on the street and you document the people's struggles. So that was very formative in terms of the sort of early work I did. I was drawn to documentary practices. So as much as I was doing video art and more experimental work, I was equally doing some early, fairly formally conventional movement documentaries on farm workers, the struggle of farm workers, on agrarian reform in the New Nicaragua, on the peace movement and civil disobedience.
Did you teach yourself, like, how to use the
through the co-ops, sort of self-taught and working on other people's shoots, and then taking workshops and self-taught. I'm still terrible at tech.
In 2009, you withdrew your film Covered from the Toronto International Film Festival in a protest against the city spotlight on Tel Aviv. This was just months after the Israeli army's assault on Gaza.
Exactly, yeah.
Can you talk about this, and specifically about your continued work with the BDS movement after that?
Sure. I think, like most people, I followed the Palestinian struggle. I, you know, supported in various benign ways and over the previous decade. But for me, the city-to-city spotlight really brought things into focus. Earlier that summer, I'd been asked to pull my film Fig Trees from the Tel Aviv Gay Festival. And so that was really the immersion into BDS politics and the boycott movement, and the realization that even though this pretty grassroots queer festival, which I knew the director of and I had much respect for what they were trying to do on the ground in Tel Aviv. Nevertheless, the boycott call from Palestinian society was clear, and it did seem to me one of those moments of it's time to take a stand, and it's time to... I've been very active in the anti-apartheid movement in the 80s and supported the boycott then, and it seemed very hypocritical to show a film about South African struggles in this Israeli context and ignore a boycott that was parallel. So that was the sort of... That was in some ways the bigger, tougher decision. Then 4 months later, TIFF came along, and when we found out that, you know, I mean, Toronto's a very small city in some ways. It's a tight community, and we all know each other, and we've all supported each other for many years. So when, you know, people who I've known and respected and feel much debt to in terms of TIFF, and TIFF's been very good to me over the years, when a bunch of us found out they were doing the spotlight on Tel Aviv in the wake of Gaza, we were, what the fuck? And so we asked for meetings. They refused. Finally, they met with us. It was worse, in fact, than we thought. It was, though they, to this day, deny, quote, that they were part of the Rebrand Israel campaign. The mayor of Tel Aviv has said they were. The Israeli consul general has said they are. They admitted that they were getting money for sponsorship and receptions and et cetera, et cetera. So in every way, it was very clear they were part of the Rebrand Israel campaign. And this, for many, a huge, huge swath seemed impossible. So there were two actions. One was the small one, which was me pulling my film. The other was the big collective action, which you probably read about in the news. 2,000 signatures. We got 2,000 signatures in 2 weeks, including Jane Fonda and Danny Glover and John Berger and Ken Loach, a long list of people saying this is wrong. A festival shouldn't be hijacked by an official state propaganda exercise. And in the wake of Gaza, it's time to take a stand.
What's been the fallout since then? Like, you've done two short pieces that are also BBS.
Three.
Three. Oh,
I haven't seen my Justin Bieber epic?
No, I haven't seen the Justin Bieber one.
My God, catch up. It's starring an authentic Bebian. So you know the Bebian movement, which is the lesbians who look like Justin Bieber. And so she does a massively great job. And again, it's taking baby and turning it into boycott. It was much fun to do. He's playing a concert in Tel Aviv in April, ergo the reason for doing it. I've been active, I guess, in probably three ways. I've been active in terms of film politics, taking a stand and supporting BDS by not allowing my films in festivals. Like in Portugal Queer Festival, I had to pull out last year because they were taking money from the consulate. There's a possibility that San Francisco likewise... So this politic continues, and trying to build a movement of festivals and filmmakers who won't do business with the Israeli state.
Right.
And one of the crucial points we try and tell anyone who will listen, because everyone misunderstands this crucial thing about BDS, is BDS isn't about the filmmakers or the films. Every Israeli filmmaker is welcome to play Montreal or Toronto or wherever. Every film and filmmaker are welcome. If people want to program them, great. The issue is the Israeli state. Is there Israeli state money being accessed to bring them here, to present the work, etc., so that it becomes part of an official state campaign? Because the target of BDS isn't artists, isn't culture, it's the state itself. And that distinction, I think, is crucial, because everyone thinks, oh, boycott, that's censorship. And no, it's just the opposite. It's that principled thing of trying to separate out the state sponsorship from the presentation of art. And if you want to present an Israeli film, great. Just don't take the $100 or $200 that the consulate will pay you for shipping or help out with the plane fare. Raise it some other place. But by all means, bring the filmmaker.
One last question. I was thinking about the contradictions that you must face when you're working in this sort of political work. For instance, you know, they bring up the fact that Israel is very open to gay culture. What sort of advice do you have to other people about the contradictions that they encounter in activists?
I think the contradictions are the reason I'm intrigued and the reason I'm interested and the reason I've become involved. I mean, we've all been involved in lots of easy issues like the environment. You know, it's yes, there are people out there who support, you know, greenhouse effect or, you know, global warming. But most people I meet on the street or in my life aren't.
Yeah.
This is one of the toughest issues facing us anywhere. You know, most, you know, gay marriage, what could be simpler in terms of a debate or a politic? 99% of right-thinking people line up on the right side of that issue, as it were. With Israel-Palestine, it's much tougher, and that to me is intriguing because it's a much tougher test for how we think through social justice, how we practice progressive politics. I also think that, you know, Israel for so many of us represents such important, complex 20th century history, and the reasons we all know are for the creation of Israel, I think really have been violated by, ever since 67, the practices of an Israeli state, which is clearly out of sync with, in fact, an international Jewish community and an international consensus around what Israel was supposed to be and what it's become. So I think we all work on many issues, but this is one that continually is tough and hard. It's a hard slog, but it's also intriguing because it's a tougher test of what it means to practice progressive politics. And so a few coping strategies. I mean, there's been lots of fallout from the stance I took at TIFF in particular. And the best coping strategy I've come up with was to do work about it. So not just take a stand and write a letter. I think what artists do best is make our work. And so trying to make work which finds new ways to open up the debate, tries to contribute to a debate. Hence humorous bad music videos with Justin Bieber.
Who's singing those?
It's all Dave Wall. Dave Wall, wonderful composer and singer and longtime collaborator. And whether he's channeling Elton John or Rihanna, or you've seen the one, or Bjork, he gets great glee out of this sort of mimicry. And both of us were formed very much in a culture of appropriation, of postmodern appropriation. So a lot of it's informed by that satiric take on popular culture and using the power and hook of popular culture to make commentary. When I was researching music and appropriation, I came across this quote from John Gay in 1728 when he was presenting Beggar's Opera. And one of his signature strategies was to take popular songs and rewrite the lyrics. So the popular song in his time, Our London is a Fine Town, in his words became Our Polly is a Sad Slut. And he talked about how that jolt of saucy new lyrics in the familiar melody would be something audiences, it would cause an electrical charge to run through the audiences, and they'd get lit up and think critically in a new way about theater and society.